we're not always on top, but if there's one thing that's for certain, is spiritually speaking, our lives are secure in Christ. And our security in Him is what we need for eternity, is to have faith in Christ, because that's where our hope is for eternity now. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Amazing passage of scripture. In the years that I've been involved in ministry, I've read through this many, many times. And yesterday, I actually prepared a different sermon, and I realized it's going to take too long. I need to have someone that's a little shorter. I won't be able to stand that long, I think. So I decided, let me grab this, and let's preach on it, because it's such a beautiful passage of scripture anyway. So just to let you know, the reason why I'm struggling a little is I've got three abscesses at this moment. One is healed, the other one is about 80%, 70-80%, and the other one just started. So that's what causes me so much discomfort and not just discomfort, a lot of pain. And it's hard to stand. All right, so. But listen to the word. Don't have to worry about my standing or whatever. Just enjoy the word. And let's be challenged together, and let's enjoy God's word speaking to us. Because remember, that's what it's all about. This is the moment where God speaks to His people. And even though it's my voice, it's still God's word speaking to us. And we need to be obedient to Him. We don't listen to the voice of men. We listen to the voice of God. We listen to His word, and we obey His word. And as far as He sends His word out to accomplish something, His word will accomplish whatever He sets it out to accomplish. And that's what we trust Him for. Now, there are many passages of Scripture that tells us what the world will be like before the return of Christ, what people on this earth will be like. Very interesting passages of Scripture if you read it in the context of knowing that it's what it's going to look like before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. After the resurrection of Christ, many of the things foretold through prophecy, whether it's through Jesus or the apostles or even the Old Testament prophets, when after Jesus rose from the grave, those things started becoming visible. You could actually see them develop. It's as if it started off small and it just started growing. It became stronger and stronger. When Jesus spoke about evil, people will become more evil as time goes on. You can see this happening all over the world. And the closer we get to the return of Christ, we're going to see that this world is going to become very evil. How do we know that? He said it's going to be the same as it was in the days of Noah. And we know in the book of Genesis, it tells us that it's going to the world was evil, so evil at that stage that God decided to destroy the whole earth, everybody on it. All right, so there's going to be a day again of God's judgment, and the world is going to become so evil that God is going to destroy this world, but this time God is going to destroy the world with fire. It's coming. All right, so as we see the return of Christ draw near, we are going to see these prophecies in Scripture just unfold more and more. Which means if people were evil before, they're going to become more evil. If people were godless before, they're going to become more godless. If people were lovers of self before, they're going to be lovers of self more. If they were lovers of money before, they're going to be lovers of money even more. It's just going to increase. It's never going to go back to where it was. So even if we would love to have this utopia on this earth, it's not going to happen. Okay? It's going to get worse and worse and worse as the time progresses, because we are looking forward to having the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ Himself, reign in righteousness. That's what we're looking forward to, because we know that's how it ends, because we've got the beginning from the end. Now, in the Apostle Paul's first letter to Timothy, he warned Timothy that people will depart from the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, and you'll see, and he speaks about the latter times, now people will move away from the faith, and that is the true faith. True faith in Jesus Christ, which means the closer we get to the return of Christ, you're going to get a lot of people that will say, they will profess with their mouths that they follow Jesus Christ, that they love Christ, or they say that they are Christians, but in essence, they're not. All right. But Paul said to Timothy as well in his first letter that they will listen to deceiving spirits. And they will give heed, or they will give in to the doctrines of demons, which means they will start actually listening to words that comes from demons, doctrines that come from demons, and they will start following those doctrines. But they will do it in the church. All right, so that's in the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In his second letter, he warned Timothy of the perilous times that was to come. How people in the church will become self-centered, self-absorbed, lovers of money and all this kind, having a shine of godliness, but denying the power of the gospel, denying the power of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, this is our passage for this morning. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy what he should be doing as we await the second coming of Christ. So it's not as if he doesn't give us marching orders. He doesn't say, oh, everything is going to become bad, so all you do is go and sulk in a little corner. That's not what he says. He says, while you see these things develop, while you see these things happen, Timothy, I want you to do certain things. And he's not just talking about Timothy, because we know the principles exist for everyone, for all believers throughout all the ages. So, and even for us today, here in Newcastle Baptist Church on this day. So with your Bibles open, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, knowing, Father, that you are the living Almighty God who has everything in your hands. Even though when we look at the world and we look at where things are going, we might think, wow, this is chaos. And it's just chaos that's just becoming worse and worse and worse. But Father, then again, it is so amazing that we can look at your word and see how everything has been planned by you. You are not caught off guard. You know everything in advance. And you've shared enough things for us to know that you are in full control. So, Father, thank you so much also for this passage of Scripture where Paul speaks to Timothy as a young man. And he just gives him guidance on what to do as he sees the return of Jesus Christ draw closer. And for Timothy, it was much further away as for us. Thank you so much for this word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts, please. Enable us to receive your word. Enable us to understand your word so that you may be glorified in it through our lives. Father, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge you, therefore, before God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Up to there. Absolutely amazing. This is Paul's marching orders to young Timothy. At that stage, we can say maybe Timothy was still the pastor of the Ephesian church. Maybe he was in transition. But what we do know is that Timothy was still a young man. And he is youngish, in his 30s, most probably. And he gets these marching orders. And within the context, we can see that Timothy became afraid of preaching the gospel because of persecution that was coming. And that's why Paul, in the one end, encourages him. Actually, a very strong encouragement, it's a little more than encouragement. He's tough on him that he needs to do the work of an evangelist, fulfill his ministry, because he was slacking down on what he was supposed to do. That's the one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin was, as Timothy saw things develop and around him and see that people are changing and things are happening the way that Paul prophesied it, he is supposed to be doing this more and more and more, because we need to be ready for the return of Christ. And the church has received her marching orders. She has to be doing what God has called us to do. All right. So Paul speaks to the young Timothy, and he says to him, right there in the beginning, he says, I charge you. And this is like giving a forceful order or a forceful directive, a serious instruction. This is what Paul is doing. He's very serious when he says this to Timothy. And it's interesting, and I believe that Paul had to be serious with Timothy. Besides the fact that he became afraid, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we read that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Now, he said that to Timothy because there was this fear creeping in to Timothy. Because let me tell you, the closer we get to the return of Christ, the harder things are going to become. And a lot of people are going to become very fearful because it's going to be a fearful time. Right, so Paul says to Timothy, don't be fearful. What I want you to do is focus on the things that you need to be focused on. Okay, that's the way we're going to stand. We're not going to stand by running away and hiding ourselves away somewhere or sulking in the corner. No, you need to be busy with what you need to be busy with. That's the thing that's going to carry us through when the tough times come. All right. So he says that it's good. I mean, if you look at it, it's good that he charged him forcefully. For the times which were coming was going to be a huge test for Timothy. Massive test. And let me tell you, the times that are coming for us as believers in the world that we live in is tough. What is coming is going to be tough. And we need to be ready. As ready as we can be. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy of perilous times to come. Now, perilous times are basically dangerous times. Seriously dangerous times that are coming. And then he says in verse 2 and 3 of 2 Timothy 3, he says, for men will be lovers of themselves. And what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to read to you what people look like today. I'm just going to use a few of the things. I'm not even going to read all of it, but let me do it quickly. Men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. You know, a blasphemer is somebody that uses God's name in vain. No, those people that stand on the TV and say, oh my. And I see Christians do it more and more nowadays. Watch out, that's blasphemy. And God will not judge blasphemers. God will judge every single word of blasphemy that comes out of somebody's mouth. We don't use our mother's names as a cuss word. Why use God's name as a cuss word? But anyway, so blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, and so he goes on. And let me tell you, he's describing the generation that we're living in. He's describing the people of the world today. Interestingly enough, he was also describing the people of the day of Timothy. He describes the people that has been alive since Jesus Christ ascended from the earth to go to heaven. But it is increasing. So if you think you've seen people being in love with themselves, you haven't seen nothing yet. People are going to become more in love with themselves. They're going to be in your face with self-love. They're going to be so entitled that you're going to later on feel you want to vomit, but you can't because that's how they're going to be in your face. And you can see it already. It's developing. There are times that I look at people and I just can't handle it anymore because it's really, they are so in your face. They are so arrogant. So narcissistic. But that's what the world is going to become. This is the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get worse. People are lovers of money. All you need to do is to look at what's happening and how corruption is just increasing. Why is corruption increasing? It's all because of love of money. That's where it comes from. That's where it ends. They love money, right? But you haven't seen the end yet. And it's amazing how the things just open up and people become despondent and they're upset and they say, oh, we got to fight this corruption. And then you realize that the people that wants to fight corruption can't fight corruption because they corrupt themselves. And so you can go on and on and on because that's the reality of life. And who knows about it? God knows. He wrote the book. He gave us the revelation. We're not caught by surprise. I'm really not caught by surprise if anything comes up and you are... My time of disappointment has gone wrong a long time ago. I don't get disappointed about these things anymore because God has written it down for us. I do get disappointed, though, when believers who are supposed to know better, when they do not do what God says in His Word. That's when I get disappointed because I expect more from God's people. Anyway, now I've lost myself, sorry. All right, in our passage, the Apostle Paul warns Timothy about, and he speaks about it in verse 3 and 4, you'll see there. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You see, the people are going to look for preachers who tell them nice little stories from the pulpit, you know, like little fairy tales, little fabrications of their own minds, in contrast, obviously, with reality. And one of those realities that we are seeing nowadays that are just completely being destroyed in the minds of even evangelical preachers is the fact that, as far as I know, Scripture tells us there's two genders. But the world is telling us, I don't know how many there are. And I think it's growing by the day, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. But Scripture tells me there's two. Reality tells me there's two genders. But the world is telling me now there's more than two genders. And there are preachers and Christians getting on board and saying, nope, there's more than two. And I ask myself the question, what now? So what people do is, they will not go to a church where they preach the word. They will go to a church where they hear what they want to hear. Does that make sense? It's already happening. And it's happening at a drastic speed. And let me tell you, the internet made it so easy. So easy. For this to happen exactly the way that it has been prophesied in Scripture. Now, let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, when you look at him and he speaks to Timothy, there's enough reason just looking at what's going to happen in the future to tell Timothy, listen, this is urgent stuff. You need to be busy with what you need to be busy with, Timothy. There's enough reason, but he gives two more reasons why Timothy needs to be urged, instructed to do what he needs to do. And that is, the first one is, he is in the presence of God. Which means that God is the one who is listening to him. God is the one who is watching him. God is the one who is directing and guiding and interacting with him through the Holy Spirit. God is with him. It is not as if God is this God who created everything and then, whoops, ran away. And now sits in heaven watching us from a distance. That's not the God of the Bible. That is the God of the figment of people's imagination. That's not the God of the Bible. And then the other reason why there's this urgency in Paul is that he instructs Timothy with the knowledge that Jesus Christ will one day judge the living and the dead at his second coming when he sets up his millennial kingdom. He will judge everyone. Just the fact that Jesus Christ will be the judge is good enough reason to be doing what Jesus wants us to do until he returns. All right, so Paul is not just saying it for one reason. It's three reasons that he gives for Timothy to be very diligent in what he is supposed to be doing. So in our passage, we see Paul then instruct Timothy earnestly on the following things. The first one is in verse 2. He says, preach the word. And immediately you will say, oh, thank you so much. That's not me, because I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. So that's not me. So what you do is you shut your head down and you say, that's for me. That's for me as a pastor, or for me, somebody that preaches the word. Nope, it's not true. When you open up your mouth and you speak to anybody and you speak and you say, thus saith the Lord, and you say to them what the word says, that's exactly what you're doing. You're preaching the word. So this applies to everyone. The context is just, when I preach the word, I'm preaching it to you, all of you, at the same time. But most of the time, we are preaching the word one-on-one. I have much more of a fruitful time many times when I do a one-on-one with somebody. Sit down, take the word, and work through it. That's when I have my best time, because I can explain. And we can work through it slowly. But Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. And what must he preach of the word? All of it. Not just the favorite parts. And you know, we've got our favorite parts, don't we? You know, those little parts that is so cool. I mean, we love it. We will quote it every day because they are our favorite parts. And then we leave about 3/4 of the Bible out. No, when he says to him, preach the word, he's saying to them, everything. Those parts you like and those parts you dislike. God said it, you preach it. You say it. Many times I've wanted to sit in front of people and say to them, listen, I would love to have told you, you don't have to do this, but I can't. The reason why I can't is because the word of God says the following, this is what you've got to do. If it was up to me and my feelings, I would have said to you, don't worry about it. But because God is so clear in his word, we have to do what God's word has to say. So when you preach the word, preach what it says. Be earnest about it. Don't hold back. Those things that is likable and those things which are not likable. All right. Because remember, God's revelation, God's truth is revealed in the word. Right. So if we want to share something of God's truth with people, we need to share God's word. So that's the first one. The second one is also in verse 2. Be ready in season and out of season. That verb, be ready, speaks about urgency, a readiness and a preparedness. This is like a soldier that's ready for battle, or a guard that is continually alert, you know, for somebody that will come in and break in or steal or whatever. John MacArthur says the following, and I quote, he says, the faithful preacher must proclaim the word when it is popular and or convenient, and when it is not. When it seems suitable to do so, and when it seems not. The dictates of popular culture, tradition, reputation, acceptance, or esteem in the community or in the church must never alter the true preacher's commitment to proclaim God's word. And so I want to say to each and every person, anybody that opens up this Bible and helps somebody else through the Bible or with the Bible, in whatever way it might be, make sure that you are not afraid of what others are going to say about it, but you say what God's word has to say. And do it with boldness. And do it in season and out of season. Do it whenever it is suitable for people to hear or not. Doesn't matter. That in season, out of season obviously also refers to today. My preaching this morning is kind of out of season for me. I would rather be at home. I would rather be in bed. But God gives me the ability, he gives me the grace to be here to preach his word. And it's a privilege. And he enables me to do so. That's what he always does. Whenever we preach and we're obedient to him, he is the one who enables us to do what he calls us to do. And this is what, when Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, he's not saying to Timothy, preach the word and you're going to do it by yourself, Timothy. Do it in season and out of season, Timothy, but you're going to do it by yourself. That's not what he's saying to him. He's saying to him, but Timothy, you be obedient. You'll be surprised how God will come alongside and God will enable you to do it. Because that's the way it works. Then he continues and he says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Those first two words are basically two negative words when it comes to the preaching or the sharing of God's word. And we find it unfortunately missing. And many times people open up the word of God and they speak to others. They rather speak to people about prosperity and all the nice stuff in scripture. And they don't speak to them about the things that are not that nice. No? It's very easy to preach goodness and love and the nice texts of the Bible. It's very hard sometimes to preach the tough ones. But it needs to be done. If you preach the whole counsel of God, you remember that Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said to them, listen, I have preached the whole counsel to you. And he kind of says to them, I expect you to go and do the same. Preach the whole counsel of God, everything, the likable stuff and non-likable stuff. When he speaks about to convince, it basically means to refers to correcting people's behavior or people's false doctrine by using careful biblical arrangement to help that person understand their error and their wrong actions. That's what it means to convince, which means you are telling a person, listen, you're a sinner, and what you're doing is sin. And who wants to hear that today? People want to know how wonderful they are. People don't want to hear they're sinners in need of a gracious Savior. When it comes to rebuke, that's the second word he uses there. That deals more with the correcting a person's motives by convincing that person of their need for repentance if they do sin. Then the third one is exhort. Yeah? Beautiful word that. Exhortation is a very beautiful, how can I say, positive part of preaching. You have the negative part of preaching, which means you've got to take on sin. You have to. If you listen to just lovey-dovey preaching all the time, let me tell you, you haven't heard the Bible being preached to you. You haven't. By the way, Jesus preached more about hell than he preached about heaven. Because Jesus knows that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We won't run to a Savior unless we know that we are sinners. Anyway, when it comes to exhortation or to exhort, it refers to all the duties and the religion of religion respecting God and man, to show love and to do good and to hold fast the profession of our faith, to walk as it becomes the gospel of Christ, you know, all those beautiful things, what it means to walk with Christ, to live with him and to do all the things that are right. That's exhortation. So you talk to people like that. You say to people, listen, I encourage you to do what is right, to continue to do what is right. All right, that's when you exhort. But then there are times when you have to say, listen, this is sin and this needs to be handled. Then he says, be watchful in all things. He says, like someone who is sober, basically, that's what it means. Be on the lookout on all occasions and under all circumstances. Watch your own doctrine. Watch your own way of living. Look out for errors in your own life, for sin, for laziness. Look out for those things in your own life. So be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Suffer if you need to suffer. If it takes hardship, let hardship come. It's part of being a Christian, part of being a believer. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry, he says in verse 5. Basically what it means, by the way, it's beautiful. I read up somewhere where the work of an evangelist in the first century church was basically to support the apostles. It's not what we see nowadays, that it's preaching, you know, so that people can come to salvation, and we say that's an evangelist. That's more a person with the gift of evangelism. But evangelist, the office of evangelist that we find in Ephesians chapter 4, what it was somebody that supported the apostles. And they would basically be the ones who would preach the gospel in such a way that people would come to salvation, while the apostles were the ones who walked in miracles and signs and wonders and that kind of thing. Amazing, sound, strong doctrine. Evangelists would be the supportive role player in that. So, beloved, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort. Then he says, with all long-suffering and teaching. Long-suffering just means to be patient. Be patient with the people that you are ministering to, because it takes time. People don't just grow like that. It takes time. Be patient with them. All right. But why does he say, preach the word? And this is what I've done in the beginning when I said to you, he said, because there's going to be a time that is going to come where people will not endure sound doctrine anymore. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn it to fables. Now, what time is he talking about? He's basically talking about that time in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where it says about the perilous times that's coming, dangerous, bad times that are coming. And as we see the return of Jesus Christ get closer and closer, that time, that's the time he's talking about. So he says that time is coming when people don't want to hear. the truth anymore. They won't want to listen to sound doctrine anymore. They don't want to hear what the Word has to say. They would rather come and listen to somebody talk a bunch of nonsense. Let me tell you, I've listened to some, I don't know what you call them, some of the preachers, because I don't really want to give them the title preacher, because they're not. But I've listened to some of them on YouTube, and what a bunch of nonsense they talk. And some of them are very high, how can I say, high flyers, big names. Millions of people follow them, but they talk the biggest load of nonsense. You don't hear the Word from them. They will take one verse or a few verses ripped out of proportion all over the place, and then they will throw it to the people and they say, "Here you go, eat." It doesn't work like that. We are here to open up God's Word to people. That's what we are here and called to. Anyway, so that time will come, he says, and that's in the future, obviously, but also it started already when Jesus ascended into heaven. They will not endure sound doctrine. The Greek there is, they will not endure healthful doctrine, healthy doctrine. Doctrine that will actually bring health to their soul. The doctrine that they will be producing is detrimental to their soul. And the people don't even realize it. People listen to these people that are not preaching the Word of God, that are preaching their own imaginations and their own lusts. They are sharing with people, and it doesn't take very long, and you look at their lives and you realize your spiritual life has actually gone backwards, man. You're not growing. You're not growing in the faith. You're sliding. You've got these big preachers today that says, "No, we don't have to go to church. We don't have to be obedient to Christ. We don't have to be obedient to what it says in Hebrews. We follow the culture. We follow," and it's big shot names. Big names. Where do they get that nonsense? They're not in the Word anymore. But you could see them slip a few years already. You can see the slip come. It just takes time. But eventually they get to that point where they will start refusing sound biblical doctrine. They will just refuse to accept it. And then what they will do is, this is what Paul says to Timothy, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they've got itchy ears, they will gather for themselves preachers that will say what they want to hear. According to their own desires, which means people will sit there and say, "What do I want to hear today? Ah, let me grab my little remote control and let me go through the program. This one is preaching on the love of God. This one is preaching on snow. This one is preaching on that. No, that one is preaching. And you go through the list and you say, "This is what I want to listen to today." And you click on it and you listen to this awesome sermon that you wanted to hear. That's exactly the same thing as gathering unto yourself preachers that will preach what your little itchy ears wants to hear. I hope it's getting clear to you, or it is clear to you. Because that's unfortunate, the world that we live in today. The access that people have to internet, to media, it has become so far and wide. I mean, you can just go onto your cell phone and just get all the podcasts, and you can listen for your whole life, and you're not going to finish all the podcasts that's on there. And I've taken the time and just went through a few of them, and I started listening to a few of them. I get into maybe 3 minutes. I'll switch it off. Because it's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Because when they start quoting scripture and it's outside of context, and it's not saying what God's Word says, because I know a little bit of the Word of God, so I can discern. I can't tell you how many times I had to shut off things because it's the biggest bunch of nonsense. And why? But the problem is that people are, they're listening to it. Because people are switching channels. "No, I don't want to listen to this guy today. I want to listen to this one today." We're getting to the point where all the favorite preachers are going to be on the TV, and the people are not going to come to church. It's already happening. Churches are running empty. Praise God for us. We're not yet. I hope we're not going to. That the warnings that we've received, that we will understand what it's all about. But there's going to be a time, and it's coming, and it's soon, and it's arrived, where churches are running empty. You know where the people are? Are they not listening to anything? Or they're sitting and listening in front of the TV what their little itchy ears wants to hear. But Paul warned about this many, many years ago. And we're seeing it happen in front of our eyes. It says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. What is the truth? Where do we find the truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. You remember that? He was referring to the Bible, to the word of God, as the truth. Where do we find the truth? We find it in Scripture. We find it in God's word. So if you want to know the truth, you've got to be studying God's word. Otherwise, you are busy with falsehood. Because God's word is the truth. But what will these people do is they will turn their ears away from the truth. See, God's word is truth. So they will turn away from God's word, and you see it today. They will rather follow fables and nonsense rather than following God's word. And they will turn aside, it says, to fables. Now, a fable is that which is fabricated by the mind in contrast to reality. It is the word from which mythology is derived. Maybe that's why we hear more and more that the Bible is just a mythical book. More preachers are saying it. It's just a book of myths. Some prominent guys are also saying it today. It's a book of myths. It's not. It's the truth. Either you accept it or you deny it. That's fine. It's your choice. But I wonder why people stay in the church, but they don't believe what we believe in the church. Why stay there? Go. Leave. Don't make a mockery out of the church of which Jesus Christ is the head. So, but unfortunately, we know that as well, that false teachers will come into the church because Satan wants to destroy the church from within. He warned the Ephesian elders about that in Acts chapter 20. Right. Now, beloved, as we see things move towards God's end, I believe it's crucial that the gospel should be preached. Why the gospel? That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, preach the word. Part of the word is to preach the gospel. And we need to make sure that when we preach the gospel, we are preaching the gospel. Not preaching a gospel, because there is another gospel, according to 2 Corinthians 11. Make sure that you preach the gospel. And Nine Marks website has a beautiful article, and I just want to read it to you. This is what the article said. In order to share the gospel, you must tell someone the truth about God. God is the creator of all things. He is perfectly holy, worthy of all worship, and will punish sin. And in order to share the gospel, you must tell someone the truth about man. All people are sinful by nature. And by nature, all people are alienated from God, hostile to God, and subject to the wrath of God. So in order to share the gospel, you must also tell people the truth about Christ. For Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He lived a sinful life, died on the cross to bear God's wrath in the place of all who would believe in him, and he rose from the grave in order to give his people eternal life. And lastly, in order to share the gospel, you must tell someone the truth about the kind of response that God requires from unbelievers and sinners. And this is basically what Scripture says, now that God calls upon everyone to repent of their sin and trust in Christ in order to be saved. And then the article concludes by saying the following, and I quote, "This does not mean that you must communicate all of these things in every encounter that you have with a non-Christian. This does mean that you haven't shared the gospel unless you include these four things." Make sure when you share the gospel, you share the biblical gospel, found, by the way, very simply in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beloved, so when we share the good news of the gospel, make sure that all four of these elements are included in the gospel presentation that you present. And I want to conclude. Prepare yourself. Be ready. Be ready to share the gospel even as Jesus Christ returns. Just like Timothy, we are facing unprecedented times, dangerous, perilous times. When we hear of the hard and the tough times and the dangerous times ahead, our first instinct is normally to try to flee, to run, to hide, to try to make the impact on our lives as small as possible. But when Paul spoke to Timothy, he urged him, and he said to him, I urge you to preach the word every opportunity you get. And beloved, we should do the same. Paul said to Timothy to preach the whole counsel of God, the tough parts on sin and the good parts on salvation. We need to do the same. He said to Timothy to watch his doctrine. So should we. That he should watch the way that he lives, and that he should protect himself from sin. I believe we should do the same. That Timothy needed to be willing to suffer hardship for the gospel. So should we. And lastly, Paul said to Timothy to fulfill his ministry, which basically means, Timothy, go and do what God instructed you to do. And I believe we should do the same. Go and do what God instructs us to do. Be obedient to Him. Because at the end of the day, the reward is out of this world. Né? I've heard this before. Beautiful. The reward is out of this world. Absolutely amazing. There was this urgent call to Timothy. And I believe there is still an urgent call even today. A call for us here in Newcastle Baptist Church. The question is, will you obey the call? Will you do what God said? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you and to know that we can come to you 24/7, that your ear is never too deaf to hear, your hand is never too short to help, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Almighty God. And Father, it is to you that we come, who, through Jesus Christ, made it possible for us to be saved from our sin, to look forward to eternal life with you, and to know that we can live a life that pleases you while we're on this earth. And as we prepare ourselves for the return of Christ, and as we see things develop and happen around the world, we pray, Father, please, enable us to be obedient and to do what you've called us to do, so that your name may be glorified in and through our lives every single day. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.